Sports opinion with chicken and beer is flowing here, wrapped up in the podcast network rotation. Sports opinion with chicken and beer is flowing here, wrapped up in the podcast network rotation. Sports opinion.
We just want to party just for you. We just want the money just for you. I know you want to party just for me. Girl, you got me dancing, shit to free. We just want to party just for you. We just want the money just for you.
This is America. Don't catch you slipping now. Don't catch you slipping now. Look what I'm whipping up. This is America. Don't catch you slipping now. Don't catch you slipping now. Look what I'm whipping up. This is America. Don't catch you slipping now. Look how I'm living now. Police be tripping now. Yeah, this is America. Guns in my area. I got the strap, hey. I gotta carry 'em. Yeah, yeah, I'ma go into this. Yeah, yeah, this is gorilla. Yeah, yeah, I'ma go get the bag. Yeah, yeah, or I'ma get the pad. Yeah, yeah, I'm so cold like, yeah.
Yeah,
I'm so dull like, yeah. We gon' blow like, yeah.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to episode number 12 of the Beer and Chicken Podcast. I am your host, Mr. Span. This is episode 12, like I said, of the Beer and Chicken Podcast. And we're back after a couple weeks. We haven't been here for a while. Your man Span was getting teeth pulled and shit. And so, you know, it is what it is, right? But we back. You know, I'm not looking like a fucking chipmunk with my mouth full of nuts and shit right now, man. It's a beautiful thing, man. Real talk.
No pun.
Hey,
no pun.
Whatever, man.
No homo.
Yeah, man, but we are back, man. And I got the homeboys, Walt Lockdown and the homeboy Cliff. Say what's up to the people's fam.
What's going on? What is going on, man? What is going on? I'm upset right now, but I'm a...
Tell them why you're mad, son. Tell them why you're mad.
Comcast is down in a 10-12 block radius, and unfortunately, I am within those parameters right now, so I'm not able to go. And you guys can see my beautiful smile. You can hear my beautiful voice, but you can't see me.
Long we gotta look at that damn Cubs banner today.
Oh man, we are getting a reprieve today, my nigga.
Hey, so many haters in the world, even your close friends. I don't get it.
No, man, I get that Comcast shit, man. I got, what was it, episode 203 that I put out, man? That shit was entitled Fuck Comcast, because my shit did the same thing a couple weeks ago, man. It was like I had the homeboy Shane Paul Neal on the show, and it went out like three different times while we were trying to record, and I had to reschedule the whole shit. And just do a whole nother show that wasn't like what I had envisioned, but I was supposed to put a show out, so I did. And yeah, man, that internet going down shit, man, it is not the business, especially when your TV and all that shit is tied in with it too.
Yes, yes, yes.
Pay way too much money to Comcast for this kind of shit to be happening, man.
Exactly. And you know what? I hate the fact that when you ask, like, you know, look, it didn't rain. We don't have any thunderstorms, what an earthquake, you know, nothing happened. What it just you know, pop goes the weasel because the weasel goes pop and you ain't got shit. What? Yeah. Come on, man. The deer hit the line or something? Come on.
Well, she was saying something about AT&T.
I'm saying y'all clown me when I got AT&T, but my shit ain't hooked up to the TV though. I'm just saying.
Did we clown him? We probably
no.
Yeah, y'all clown.
We probably did.
Y'all
probably
clown. Did. You got y'all little subtle AT&T jokes in.
We probably did. Like, yeah, dude. Like, wait, you did what? You got dish? Oh man, when it's snow, you ain't gonna watch a damn thing, bro.
Well, unfortunately, Comcast controls my whole entertainment life, internet, TV. You know, it's like, yo, man, I'm dead right now.
Yeah, they got a monopoly. They definitely got a monopoly on the shit. Now, Walt, what's going on with you, brother? What you been up to the last couple of weeks?
Same month. Ah, man, I've been working like crazy. It's been a hell of a couple of weeks, man. Working and keeping up with the playoffs. You know me. That's all I'm about this time of year.
Working and keeping up with the playoffs. All right, then. That's so it. I hear you. And we gonna get
when I say working, I mean at work watching the playoffs. That's what I'm saying.
At work watching the playoffs. That's what's up. That sounds like a pretty sweet motherfucking gig, man.
Yes, it does.
Sound like me on a rain day, my nigga. Only the playoffs don't be on when I'm at work. You know what I'm saying? I wish I could watch a replay, though. I could get on, you know, NBA TV, and I could watch a replay. When Comcast, like, you know, when you got the stream and shit, see, that's another thing too, Cliff. I was telling you, like, get on your phone, man. You put that Xfinity stream and shit, you can watch TV, man. You got, oh, damn, it won't work if you ain't got the, what's the name? Never mind. My bad, bro.
Bro.
I
hear you, but, you I'm know, being dead I serious. Barely watch TV anyway.
No, I was being dead serious. I was getting ready to say, like, if you got, like, the Chromecast stuff on your TVs, but then I also thought about it, like, Xfinity was smart and they won't allow people to Chromecast the Xfinity stream and shit to their TVs, because if they could do that, they wouldn't need to pay for cable boxes and shit. Right. So I remember I called about that one time, like, nah man, we don't allow for that. We don't have any agreements with Google yet for that. Like, yeah, that's some bullshit. Y'all want to sell some boxes, that's all it is. $10 a month. Mm-hmm. $10 a month for every box you got, nigga. Y'all ain't slick. So, yeah, man, we're going to get right into this, man. We're going to get right into this. We're going to start with some NFL, though, right? We're going to start with a little bit of NFL because I know we're going to talk basketball heavy. But did y'all hear that the dude Matt Ryan signed to the Atlanta Falcons to the tune of $150 million? What y'all think about that, man?
In the beginning, ransom. I think one of our first, maybe second or third episodes, my topic was on, you know, NFL quarterbacks and the contracts they get. Mm-hmm. And it has only continued to validate my point. Man, get that shit out of here, man. Do I think Matt Ryan is good? Yes. Does he deserve it? Does it, and I guess I'm old school. I'm gonna say what I said before. Does he deserve a $150 million contract? He hasn't won nothing. He has not won nothing. Nothing. He went to the big game, mm-hmm. and my boys came back and beat him. You know, and I'm not hating on anybody getting paid, but man, come on, man, $150 million, yo. You and just in my eyes, only way you're gonna get $100 million contract is if you bring me back that trophy, yo. That's it. Period. That's where the buck stops. That's it. You gotta bring back the trophy, then we gonna talk. You know what I'm saying? Michael Jordan ain't get paid shit in the NBA. He got 6 rings though. You know what I'm saying? So if you would put a value on that, yeah, what would you say Mike would get? You know, but these people that they play, you know, a Sunday for 5 months and they get paid $150 million over 6 years. Nope, you ain't won yet. It's just me.
What you think, Walt?
I would say this: they're not paying you for what you do or what you've done. They paying you for what the market says you're worth. And if Jimmy Garoppolo can get the contract that he got, and all we seen him do was play, what, 7 games or something like that? Mm-hmm. Matt Ryan went to the Super Bowl, bro, and damn near won it on top of that. You know what I'm saying? Like, so he's not being paid for what he's done. He's being paid for what the market it says that, you know, he's worth. It's a couple of other quarterbacks. I mean, Matt Stafford. I mean, hell, the Lions ain't what they sniffed the playoff. What playoffs? What once in the past decade? Maybe no, they, twice in the past decade.
They've been to the playoffs. They haven't won anything in the playoffs. They haven't won anything.
That's what I'm saying. What I'm saying. They only been to the playoffs once, or maybe I want to say once, maybe twice in the last 10 years, bro. But Matt Stafford still got his check because that's what the market says that the quarterback. I mean, it's the most important position on the football team. And without it, you know, you can't. That's like in the NBA. You compared it to the NBA. Whether the team wins or whether the team loses, the superstar gonna get that max contract. I don't care what kind of team he on. You know what I'm saying? Like the superstar is gonna get the max contract because without that superstar, you have no foundation to build your team around. And it's the same thing with a quarterback. The quarterback is the most important position on the team.
Yeah, he the most important, but you talk about market value. Man, you sound, what are you, a Republican? Sound like some political shit, man. Market value is what anybody wants to make it, man. That is that to me still says that just because this quarterback didn't pay though, this and this
know,
other quarterback.
I don't know. Well, here's what I say. I think, you know, you're worth what somebody's willing to pay for you, right?
Facts.
So, and when we talk about like market value, that's pretty much what that the gist of that is. Like somebody was willing to pay this guy $150 million, $30 million per season. He's the first player in the NFL to get that. Somebody was willing to give it to him. Had he gone someplace else, he might not have gotten it. But at the same time, this team may have felt like, yo, we got to give him this money or the otherwise we're going to lose the franchise quarterback. And so, you know, I think we're just not used to these sorts of numbers being guaranteed to NFL players, right? I think that's one of the things that we're seeing that, like, the numbers keep going up in much the same way that the numbers started going up in the NBA. Like, I remember back when we were young, man, I remember when Larry Johnson signed for $80 million, and we was like, whoa. Now Larry Johnson for $80 million don't really sound a whole hell of a lot when you got guys signing for over $200 million now. You know, and some of these guys, in like, if, you know, even if you want to go to the NBA, some of these guys ain't won shit, you know, but they put butts in the seats, they sell jerseys. You know, people watching them on television, the league is getting money because of these dudes. So when you take into account all of the stuff that goes into, you know, what generates the revenue for the league and who gets what, some of that is just based upon like, yo, yeah, he's a good player or even a great player. And he draws eyeballs, he draws money, and therefore he's entitled to a certain level of compensation. With Matt Ryan, this is almost the same thing we were talking about with Matt Stafford just to, like last year. You know what I'm saying? Because I remember when Matt Stafford got that huge ass contract and everybody was mad about it. I said, look, next year is going to be somebody else. He's not going to be the highest paid NFL player forever. It's only going to last for 1 year. He's the highest paid player this year. Next year is going to be somebody else. Next year, Matt Ryan isn't going to be the highest paid player in the NFL. Somebody else is going to top what he's getting.
Take a year.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, it's not going to be that long. So
because Garoppolo topped it.
Yeah, so it's going to be one of those things, man. We're just going to start seeing more money flowing towards the players, which is a good thing, by the way, because they're the ones that people coming to see. Like, they should be, you know, getting the, you know, more of the monies that they generate, you know, and these are the guys who are putting their bodies on the line the most. So, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily be upset with it. I don't know if the whole, like, deserve, you know, for, like, championship thing, like, kind of correlates. I think sometimes, man, like, yo, it's all about, yo, we making enough money with this guy. We're making a lot of money with this guy. We would like to win a championship, but we got to build a team around him that's capable of doing that. But in the meantime, we got to pay him what the market is willing to pay him. Otherwise, we're going to lose him. And I think that's how teams are operating right now.
I get that. And all that is fine. What I'm saying is the old style of business has went away. And along with that, the way they approach players on how much they're going to pay them has all you know, inevitably changed with that too. But what I'm saying is, what I am, I'm calling me old school. I'm stuck in the past, and I just believe that. I just believe that, yo, you know, you should have to earn that, yo. That's all I'm saying. Once again, I'm not knocking anybody getting bread. I feel like you should have to earn that. I think some of the greatest players to ever play any sports definitely earned less, because that's, you know, I guess we didn't have the established train of thought of that business model for market value. It wasn't implemented, okay? And
it was then.
For some bullshit.
It
bullshit,
was then.
Bullshit. Magic Johnson got a $25 million 25-year contract.
And if he
we
was,
that was a lot of money.
And, we, and, that, at and the that time it because, was. And,
no.
At the time it was, club.
He earned it.
At the time, that was still a lot of money. Like, if you think about this, man, like, there were guys in the NBA who were making more money than Michael Jordan, right? As he played.
Yes.
There were guys in the NBA who made more money than Michael Jordan. By the time that Michael Jordan was finishing up his career with the Bulls, he signed two contracts, both of them for
$38 million.
For over $30 million, which was a hell of a lot of money, even in that time. Back in 98, you paying somebody a guaranteed $30 million for one season? Like, that was a hell of a lot of money then, right? Like, now we're seeing guys who get that $25 million a year, $28, $29 million a year is becoming more commonplace, only because, for one, inflation, and two, the money into the game is a hell of a lot more than it was back then. Like, the model is, like, we're just not in a different place in the compensation game. And, like, it's just not what it used to be. You know, like, the numbers are always going to, like, we ain't paying the same prices for gas that we used to in 1997, bro. Like, you know.
that's not my point, though, Swan. That's not my point.
Okay.
That's not my point. Even when Michael Jordan got the 1 year for $38 million, guess what? He got that because why? Because he fucking earned it. So my thing is, when it comes to these guys who haven't done shit to get these large amounts, I don't care if it was in the 80s, 90s, 2000s, whatever, they haven't done nothing to get those max contracts. That's my point, man. They haven't done nothing. They just play, and now they're just going to start giving people money because of market value. I call that bullshit. That's all I'm saying. And you're right. Next year, somebody new is going to come up, and hopefully it's going to be somebody that wins. But they're gonna exceed what who are we talking about? Matt Ryan.
So I got
to exceed him. So all I'm saying is earn the shit, man.
So I got a question. I got a question for you.
Yeah,
I got a question for you. Do you believe in union, like unionization and stuff?
I do.
Okay.
I do. And let me answer that with another statement, though. I do believe in it to a degree, but it's also some heavy ass bullshit involved.
Okay.
So kind of,
okay,
you know, I teeter-tot on that really hard.
Okay. So with union, like, when you unionize, a lot of times your salary is negotiated on your behalf, right? So
you'll
be in a certain position and you're on a scale as to, like, years of experience or whatever, you're slotted to earn X amount of dollars, right? And once you reach a certain point, you are worthy of, say, for instance, you'll top out in pay and you'll reach top pay.
Right.
Now, it's not that you were the greatest motherfucking, what the fuck? It's not that you were the greatest motherfucking employee. It's not that you were the greatest fucking whatever field it is that you're working in. Your union has stipulated that at a certain time in your experience level, you are entitled to a certain level of compensation. So so in the NBA, there's a level of compensation or there's a level of unionization with them where, like, a guy under a certain – with certain level of number of years in the NBA, certain games played. I'm sure there's a lot of different criteria that goes into it. But there's certain criteria that are put in place where a guy who you may not necessarily believe deserves all his money is entitled to it because the union has negotiated that within his years of service within the league. So – I think we're operating under some of those parameters too. Well, like, some of these guys who you don't think deserve this kind of money because, you know, they haven't won anything. At the same time, they've been able to maintain a level of play and a level of productivity that warrants them being in this league at this level and getting paid this amount of money.
Bullshit.
Okay. Whatever.
So how many? So because Matt Ryan, because Matt Ryan has played in the league. I'm just I don't know, 10 years. Oh, well, not well. I'm just going to use your union situation.
That's not what I was saying.
I get what you're saying, but what I'm saying is, and funny enough that you brought it up because I was going to use that as an analogy. Uh-huh. But this ain't that. This ain't that. And the bottom line is there. And I agree with Walt more than anything right now. That this market value shit, man, it's about politics. Because guess what? The first person to get $100 million contract in the NFL was who? Michael Vick, and they fucked him. Okay,
he fucked himself,
they didn't want
dog.
Him to be that.
He fucked himself. He fucked himself, dude.
That's another conversation.
He fucked himself.
Let me chime in on you, man. Real quick, Cliff. Let me chime in on you real quick. It's one of those things where it's like you can't. What's the alternative? That's the question that the team is asked. What's the alternative? Okay, we don't pay Matt Ryan. They trying to top what they think. If Matt Stafford got $27 million a year, then I'm sure there's a team out there that's willing to offer Matt Ryan 28 or 29. So they're going to give him, they're going to offer him the 30 just to get rid of them 28, 29 teams. And if they don't do that, what's the alternative? Matt Ryan goes to another team, and now we stuck trying to find a new quarterback in the draft, or we going to pay some money to somebody who we don't know if he's worth it or not. We know our backup can't do what Matt Ryan did. What's the alternative? You understand what I'm saying? So they'd rather go ahead and cough up $1 they quarterback than to – I mean, because once they lose him, you damn near got to rebuild the team now.
Well, let me ask you something. Best coach in the league right now is who? Best coach right now. Bill Belichick. Okay, I'll answer it for you. Bill Belichick is the best coach in the league because guess what? He don't give a shit about what you just said. Oh, we got to see if we can match him up to keep him. Fuck that. He is the best person going out there and finding talent and knowing that everybody's replaceable.
That's one team, Cliff. That's one team.
And here's my thing, and I'm saying that for a reason. Walt just said, well, we don't want to gamble that somebody else will come out here and snatch him up. So we're gonna give him as much as we can to make him stay. Guess what? That just tells me that out of all, what is it, 32 teams in the NFL? 32? 31. Their back office sucks. That means that somebody and everybody pretty much just they don't have the ability to go out here and scout good. They don't know how to pick out good players. They rather just try to give somebody money to keep them staying and instead of maybe finding somebody younger with better legs.
Well,
if
that were the case, Cliff, the New England Patriots would have won every fucking Super Bowl.
And that's why they got a five piece.
They got five, but
Belichick,
I'm saying
Belichick just so happened to be lucky enough to have a quarterback named Tom Brady who was who's stupid rich anyway, who's willing to take less money and don't care. If Tom Brady wanted that money, New England would be coughing it up. Period.
Yo,
Brady just like
you know why?
It
you know why?
Matter to me.
Because he's a winner. Okay? Because he earned it. I'm going back to my same premise. Because he earned it, yo. He could be a billionaire and outside of NFL. But guess what? He won. My whole bottom line is the fact that he won. And Bill Belichick is unwilling to always try to max somebody out because of their name. Or because of who? No. You replaceable. Y'all already know how he go. And if every team in the league had that mindset, then these contracts for people who don't win, who don't earn it, be non-existent, yo.
Well,
That's my bottom line.
But here's the thing, though, Cliff. Here's the thing that I like was getting lost in the sauce is none of these dudes' contracts have ever been guaranteed. So you got guys who sign for contracts with an exorbitant amount of money. Like, yo, such and such is signed for $125 million. And then you go into the details of that contract, and the only part of that contract that's guaranteed is his signing bonus, and he might get $30 million of that. And then these same teams come back and be like, you know what? We have some salary cap issues. We're wondering if you could restructure your contract. That way we can open up some more room so we can get some other guys here. And you got guys who do it, and then you got other guys who aren't willing because they're like, yo, man, I done put way too much motherfucking work in for y'all to start coming to me asking me to cut my check when I'm out here producing. So you got guys out here who, yeah, although like you keep talking about he earned it, but there's a whole lot of dudes who go out there and they earn it. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to win a championship. Winning a championship doesn't necessarily mean you've earned your pay. If that's the case, nobody's earned their pay unless except the team that wins a championship that year. Nobody earns shit. If that's the logic we're going
well,
with.
Well, the logic, well, that's not my statement. My statement is when it comes to restructuring these contracts and these quarterbacks, I'm just going to stick with what we're talking about, these quarterbacks who getting $150 million. That's all I'm talking about. I ain't talking about the safeties, the secondary, the linemen. No, I'm talking about when these people blast these dudes on the front page and say $150 million extension, woo op the bang. That's what I'm saying. All right. And to your point, you know, guess what? You're right. Most of these dudes do not get all that money. NFL is the only league, only sport
they
where the money is not guaranteed.
Yeah, they money not guaranteed.
All right, I had an argument.
No, I was agreeing with you. I was saying they money not guaranteed.
Yeah, and guess what? I had an argument with this dude in my cigar lounge the other day. He said he can't stand baseball. He said because he don't feel like they earn it. And I said, you know what? They first of all, they play more games than any other sport. Okay? Can't argue that. These dudes ain't never home. They're never home. Probably twice a week. Okay? But on the flip side, it's a slower game, slow pace. I mean, however you want to call it. Do they earn it? Maybe not as much, because guess what? The NFL, highest risk sport in the world, period. So you're not going to get all that money. You're right. When they get these $150 million contracts, Juan, we already know they're not getting all that. You know, I still have the article that I had spoke on, you know, in one of the podcasts where it was naming everybody's possible contract extension and how much that money is guaranteed. Well, it's different now, Juan. It ain't $30 million. That shit with Cousins, $90 million guaranteed. Mm-hmm. We're talking about for real guarantee. We're talking about big money now that's going to be guaranteed. Mm-hmm. That's the issue.
It's going to continue to go up.
That's not what I want to say. That's the difference. Now the big money is starting to be more guaranteed than it was before.
It's going to continue to go up because the monies around the league continues to rise. Like the television rights to broadcast these games, yes, continue to go up. The prices on the tickets to go to these games continue to go up. The prices on the apparel for these teams continue to go up. The concessions of the beer and the hot dogs and the nachos, all that shit, all of this stuff continues to go up. So as that shit continues to go up, the prices that these players are able to command are going to go up right along with it. And at the end of the day, at the end of the day, what it boils down to is you're worth what somebody is willing to pay you. If somebody's willing to pay you that, who am I to be like, man, that nigga ain't worth that? Like somebody willing to give it to him, they feel like he is. And that's pretty much how that's how it boils down.
Yes, I agree. Agree. You know, it's just like real estate. People always say, oh, that house ain't worth that. The house is worth what somebody's willing to pay for it.
Yep.
Every day. You know, you can put your house on the market for $1 million. It ain't going to sell, you know. But if somebody call you and say, hey, I got $1 million, now your house is worth that.
Yep.
You know, but I agree. I just think, once again, I got an old soul. Old soul tells me you ain't earned that shit, you know. And let me ask y'all
something. Start calling this nigga
this
Uncle Cliff.
This might be out.
I'm going to start calling this nigga Uncle Cliff.
Let me ask you something. Yeah. Let me ask y'all something because this is something else that I've been peeping.
Yeah.
And, you know, all these quarterbacks, white boys, no prejudice here, but what they don't talk about Cam. Cam ain't never getting no big money like that. And Cam, to me, opinion,
he's one of the most athletic
quarterbacks, period.
Let me look up Cam's money while we talking this. Let me look up Cam.
Yeah, see what Cam got. He ain't get 150.
Let's see what Cam
got. He ain't get
150. No, he damn sure didn't get 150, but the market wasn't allowing guys to get 150 then.
Oh, Mark. Michael Vick got $120 million. What, 15 years ago? You telling me that shit's not available for Cam?
How much of that money did Michael Vick have guaranteed to him, though, Cliff? That's the difference in this.
Okay. I hear you, man. I'm just talking about principle. If he made every stat that they said he had to do,
that his next contract he'll get paid. I guarantee you, Cam's next contract he's gonna get paid. It ain't his time yet. That's all it is. It ain't his time yet.
It ain't his time yet. That is
gonna cash in.
Whoa. Oh, it ain't his time yet, man.
It's not on yet.
It ain't Matt Ryan time yet, and damn for sure Garoppolo. Is that what you're telling me? Is Garoppolo
Matt Ryan's contract is up though. His contract is up for negotiation. Cam's is not.
Okay, so at the time, because I'm getting this here from Business Insider, right? This was in 2016, okay. March 15, 2016. At the time, Cam signed for the Carolina Panthers for 5 years, $103 million.
Mm-hmm.
This was 2 years ago.
That was 2 years ago. The deal came with over $60 million guaranteed and an average salary of $20.7 million.
Let me ask y'all something. Is Cam Newton better than Matt Ryan?
I think so.
Not the point, Cliff.
I think he is.
So, market value, my left ball.
No, it's
man,
not.
They paying.
Dude, at the time, the salary cap wasn't as high as it is now. It wasn't.
That's basically all it boils down to.
The salary cap wasn't as high as it is now. So they can afford to throw a few more dollars around than they could 2 years ago.
Now what's going to happen is let's say Cam had I don't know the facts, but I'm hypothetically speaking, let's say Cam had a 5-year deal. You know, but they had he can renegotiate after 4. It's been 2 already. Or maybe he go in, uh-huh. Maybe he can renegotiate after 3. Maybe he go in next year and renegotiate. They're going to be able to up it now because the salary caps are higher. You understand what I'm saying? I guarantee you Cam next contract, he going to get paid, bro. It's just not his time. It hasn't failed on his time yet. That's all it is. If that be the case, Tom Brady going to be the highest paid quarterback. Him and Aaron Rodgers going to be top dogs along with Drew Brees. They're going to be the highest paid every year if we going off of who better than who. That's not what it's about.
Shit.
I mean,
it's
shit.
About who wins.
Hey, when Kevin Garnett signed for that $120 million contract in the NBA back in 96, he wasn't the best player in the NBA either. He broke the motherfucking bank. He wasn't the best player in the NBA. He got that bread, though. And they had to restructure how they did shit in the NBA. It wasn't until we got to damn near the last 5 years where those guys started rebounding and making that kind of money again because the NBA was like, yo, we got to pull this shit back in because of that Kevin Garnett mm-hmm. deal.
Kevin Garnett
That's why they called
was
him
the first player in history to get a contract with no agent. And he got the $100 million. And to put the cherry on the cake for that one, Kevin Garnett is the highest paid NBA player ever.
But is he the best though? Is he the best? He ain't even in the top 10 as far as best is concerned. But
that debunks your theory.
I'm just making a statement.
And we are too. We just fucking with you, man.
We fucking.
Guess what? And guess what? To my point, he didn't win, but he got the money. He wasn't a winner yet. He wasn't a winner yet.
It was a whole bunch of guys in the NBA that wasn't winners yet. They got paid, bro. It was a whole bunch of them.
Yeah, but guess what? As you say, shit changes.
Hey, man, I ain't never mad at the money changing hands from the owners to the players. As somebody who is employed and the money's got to flow from the employer to the employee, I am all about, yo, man, the money got to flow downhill, man. Give me more of it.
Hey. Doc, what's his name? Dostax. Joe Johnson is a goddamn American dream.
My God, Joe Johnson been raping the league forever.
Right.
Joe Johnson been
shout out to Doc Dostax.
Yeah, man. So we're gonna move on. We're gonna get into this basketball though, because these playoffs are in full swing. And I know the homie Walt wanted to get into this NBA playoffs, man. He wanted to get into this 2 weeks ago, man. What you got tonight? Well, Walt.
Oh my God. Well, first of all, I want to say something to you personally.
Okay.
We had the last show we had, we were talking about the Indiana Pacers mm-hmm. and the Toronto Raptors and the Philadelphia 76ers. And Cliff and I on record saying that if anybody was going to knock out the Cleveland Cavaliers, it was going to be the Indiana Pacers the way that series was looking. Mm-hmm. And you were campaigning for the Raptors because you were saying that, you know, they went through the steps, they took the steps or whatever to make it to. Mm-hmm. Let's just face the facts, man. We all are screwed up. We all need our basketball card revoked right now.
I don't know about because, that. We could be wrong, but I ain't getting my card revoked. Nigga, fuck that. Nigga, no.
Listen, Indiana's gone home, bro. Indiana's gone home. Uh-huh. Toronto, it's over for. And then on top of that, Boston got Philly by the balls right now.
Yeah.
I did not see this coming. But I just wanted to say that to you, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, I at first I was going to come here and say, Span, you was right. But then I seen Toronto get their ass. Well, I'm like, well, shit, Span wrong too.
Yeah.
But what I really wanted to touch on, though, was the disappointment of OKC.
Okay.
That series was a total disappointment. I mean, even though as a team, they don't chemistry, you would think with the talent that them boys had on that roster that they would have been able to at least get to the second round. Mm-hmm. We talking Westbrook, Paul George, Steven Adams, Carmelo Anthony. I mean, we would have thought they would have at least made it to the second round.
Mm.
So I'm looking at the Utah Jazz. Like, I mean, who saw them coming? I didn't. If one of y'all saw Utah Jazz making it to the second round, I didn't even have them making the playoffs, especially after they traded half of their players to Cleveland. Well, not half of them, but, you know, they got Cleveland got who? Rodney Hood. That was one of their best players.
Yeah.
So I did not see Utah coming, and I'm very, very disappointed in OKC. Paul George need to go and get the hell out of there. Melo need to fight. I don't know what the – he need to retire. That's my guy. I'm a Melo fan.
I was just getting ready to mention, like, when you mentioned Melo the first time, I can remember talking to y'all, like, yo, Melo, like, I think for Melo, it's the nostalgic thing with him. Like, you remember the kind of player he used to be when he first came into the league, and he's just not that guy anymore. And it's funny to, like, watch him be on the downside or, the decline of his game at this point when him and LeBron came into the league the exact same year, and to see the level that LeBron is still playing at 15 years into the league, to like kind of watch that decline is kind of fucking sad, man. Carmelo,
I think he can still play though, Span.
He can still play, but the thing is, like, the problem with Carmelo right now is Carmelo still believes he believes he's the alpha dog on the team, and he's not. It's Russell's team. And so he's talking like, yo, he won't accept a reduced role. He won't come off the bench. And it's like, dude, you ain't producing the kind of numbers that we need for you to be making these sorts of demands. And so it becomes a thing where, like, okay, if OKC decides we don't want to fuck with you no more, who then picks him up if he's going to demand, like, yo, I got to start if y'all going to have me on your team? It's like, dude, you're not that guy anymore. You know what I'm saying?
The Bulls might.
Only because the Bulls, like, only because we're fucking terrible, right? That's good. Only because we're terrible. But
send them to the D. We'll take them.
Yeah, the D always taking like washed up has been ass motherfuckers. Like,
yeah,
we always doing that.
They took Blake Griffin. They take Melo in a heartbeat.
Hey man, I remember you being very excited about Blake Griffin coming to the Pistons, bro. You had a Blake Griffin poster. You had a Blake Griffin poster behind you, dude.
Poster, yeah.
What happened to the poster?
Yeah. No, it wasn't.
What happened to the poster?
I'm actually in a different room.
That motherfucker straight had Blake Griffin Pistons actually, poster before they even had him available.
For Blake Griffin to come to the Pistons, but I thought after the first couple of games they played good, I was like, well, maybe I was wrong. I wasn't at all. But anyway, finish your point.
No, but the point that I'm making is, like, I think with Carmelo, he has been like it's just sad to kind of see the decline of his game. I'm also a little bit disappointed in Oklahoma City only because, like, I didn't know that Utah, like, I really hadn't been paying Utah that much attention this year. And so I wasn't in any form thinking that Utah would be the team to beat Oklahoma City. I actually didn't think that I just thought Oklahoma City had them because of the team that they had with Russell Westbrook, who at the last time we talked, I was asking whether or not Russell Westbrook was being underappreciated despite the fact that he's like, you know, the triple-double machine that he is and how common place he's made the triple-double in these games. I've seen people call him now a stat padder, right? Like, he's just padding his stats. He don't win. And, you know, maybe there's something to that. I don't know. But, you know, I was thinking, like, yo, with Russell Westbrook, you know, being going as hard as he does every game, not taking the game off, producing the kind of numbers that he's producing, I almost felt like Russell Westbrook could will that team out of the first round. That didn't happen. Utah kind of took care of them, right? So, you know, for me, Oklahoma City is definitely a disappointment. I think a bigger disappointment may be Portland Trailblazers, because the Portland Trailblazers got to blow that whole shit all the way up. Like, they were the third.
That wasn't a disappointment.
They were the third seed in the Western Conference. They lost. Hold on, let me pull this up. They lost. They got swept by the New Orleans Pelicans. They got swept. That was a disappointment for anybody who was rooting.
That was a matchup nightmare we saw coming tomorrow.
Hey man, three seeds don't get swept by six seeds, man. That just don't happen.
They
don't get swept by six seeds.
Guards, they do when you got big ass against
but you were breaking,
niggas like Damian Lillard.
You were breaking up, man. What were you saying?
I say they do when you got big guards like Rondo and Jrue Holiday instead. You know, Damian Lillard's small man up against them boys.
Well, I get you know, that. Like, but, hell, even with Rondo, man, like Rondo is one of those guys. You can count on Rondo, like, distributing the ball. You can count on Rondo rebounding the ball. But you can't count on Rondo to give you any sort of, like, offense as far as scoring the ball. People are still giving Rondo 15-foot jump shots this far into his career. They do not fucking respect Rondo's, like, scoring game at all. People just back up off of Rondo half the time. At this point in his career, like, nobody respect this dude's jump shot at all. He can't even hit free throws at this point in his career, a point guard who's a poor fucking shooter and a poor free throw shooter. So I'm surprised that New Orleans is still playing. I like New Orleans, but I'm surprised that New Orleans is still playing. But did you have anything, Cliff?
Yes, I do. And you remember when one of my topics was about the referees?
Yeah.
I cannot believe, and I'm not gonna lie, as excited as I am about basketball, I love basketball, you know, I just can't get emotionally involved with the sport anymore because the lack of officiating is so bad now that it's taken away from the game. That was a fucking goaltend. It was so easy to see. They stole that, the possibility of them winning that game because they fucking suck.
And which game are you talking about right now?
I believe that.
Which game are you talking about?
I 100% agree with you.
LeBron. When they beat
LeBron, when, Villadipo.
Went for the game winning layup. And they didn't call that goaltend, man. I know we haven't been on the show a couple weeks, but that happened like 10 days ago.
Okay.
When LeBron, you know what I'm saying, when they was playing Indiana and it was tied up, Villadipo took him to the basket, and LeBron, the ball hit the backboard first, and LeBron blocked the ball after it hit the backboard. Mm-hmm. Yo, that right there, man. And we're not talking about some, like, call where you have to determine whether it was a charge or offensive foul. Yo, that's a rule. If the ball has to backboard first and somebody hits it, that's goaltending. And these referees get paid thousands of dollars a game to just look it. All you got to do is look, and you blow your whistle. They took the game away from Indiana, man, and that's not fair. And what happens? LeBron comes down on the other end and wins the game. So I just get so emotionally disconnected because of that type of shit, and you guys are talking way above the level that I'm even thinking of, because I'm just totally disconnected from the game because it's almost unfair. It's unfair. And on the side of the players, they got to take that shit, man. They can't even argue, you know. And the thing is, I forgot what show. What's the show on ESPN where they got the five dudes and the little different screens? I forgot the name of the show. But one of the dudes, they were talking about the play. What did you say?
Around the horn?
Around the horn. Around the horn? You know, it's a white dude who's the host.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. He says, one of the other guys said, man, it's not fair. It's not fair, and it's not fair to the point where, you know, they'll come back and review the play and say, oh, we messed up. Yo, if they review an out-of-bounds play, they got to review that because that's taken away from the game. So I'm just like, man, fuck, man.
But the interesting thing, though, Cliff, man, like the last couple years, and it's not even just relegated to the NBA. Folks have been complaining about officiating pretty much across the board in all sports. Like you think about, like they're thinking about bringing in like robots to call balls and strikes in baseball. You think about in the NFL, folks are talking about like, you know,
What's a catch?
Not only that, like, you know, what's challengeable and what isn't. Are we doing too many replays? Are we doing too many instant replays? Is slowing down the flow of the game? In the NBA, it's, you know, what's a goaltend? What's a foul? How consistent are we in these calls? Like, the calls are different in the regular season than they are in the playoffs. Sometimes the calls are different depending on which teams are playing. Like, I think this is a common complaint in all of these sports right now these last couple years.
That's true. I was just talking about basketball because that's what y'all was talking about, you know. And you know, when it comes to the goaltending call, you know, thankfully that is not as screwed up as, of course, as what I've talked about before. These traveling calls, man. James Harden, I can't even stand to watch him play because he travels at least twice in a minute.
Man, he been walking the country mile, don't he?
What'd you say, Walt?
I say James Harden be walking the country mile, don't he?
Facts. And you know what's crazy?
It's
this homie on Instagram. I think on Facebook too. I don't know if y'all probably seen him, but he mimics James Harden and he over exaggerates his travel. And it's hilarious. Oh, yeah. But it's true. You know, it's like, and to give you an example. Do you guys remember before the regular season ended, Houston played the Bulls and James Harden came down and shook this dude. James Harden took four steps backwards and set his feet and then took the shot. I was like, yo, he just walked backwards.
Hey. The only reason I even remember that is because Cliff winged it when I think right after that happened, Cliff was on the mic like, man, I got to wing it on this one. Like,
unbelievable.
Yeah, man.
Unbelievable, man. But no, to go to the playoffs, we ain't got to get off the subject.
I don't want to take nothing from James Harden's skills, man. But that one, that highlight right there, bro, that shows you how good he ain't walk. I don't think he traveled on that one. He broke old boy ankles and he just stepped back and looked at him and shot it, man. That was awesome.
Yeah.
He did step back. He stepped back a couple times. But when it comes to the playoffs, I kind of agree with you, Walt. You know, we had Toronto and hell, I don't know what the hell happened with that. OKC, I think this is my opinion. I think Westbrook is one of the most talented players in the league. You get a triple-double average twice, 2 years consecutively. I think, hands down, he should be MVP, and they're going to take that away from him. But OKC got what they deserve because they might have all that talent. I know you were saying, Walt, that they got great talent. Talent does not mean you go win. You need chemistry to win. You need a good coach to win. And they ain't got that. They ain't got that. I'm sorry. Melo is a sore thumb.
Let me chime in on that real quick with Westbrook. I think Russell Westbrook, they will never win or go as far as they want to. Russell Westbrook is a very, very unique talent. But they need to take the ball out of his hands. Because with Russell Westbrook making the decisions, he's the type of person that's going to make the decision that's best for him every time. You understand what I'm saying? And sometimes it's going to work in your favor, but more times than not, it will not work in your favor. Russell Westbrook is not a point guard. Russell Westbrook is a two guard masquerading as a point guard. Okay. And as long as he's got the ball in his hands, his only thing is his only mental is to score. Now, if you give him a point guard, all right, and put him at the two guard, now he doesn't make the decisions with the ball as much as he's used to making the decisions with the ball. You understand what I'm saying? Now, that's one of OKC's biggest problems is Russell Westbrook, because he can't seem to get it to play well with others. He's great playing by himself, but he don't play well with others. That's why I said with Carmelo Anthony, I still think Carmelo got a lot in the tank. I don't think Carmelo is as bad as everybody saying he is because of how he looks. He looks bad. He looks.
He was looking bad Carmelo before he got forcing, to before he got to OKC. See,
and I'm getting ready to go there. Before he got to OKC, he was in New York. He was looking bad in New York because he was very unhappy in New York. He wanted out of New York, but he didn't want to go to OKC. You understand what I'm saying to you? So he went from one team where he didn't want to be to another team where he didn't want to be.
I don't know. Now, I don't know if I'll give him that out.
In the right situation with the right people, I think Carmelo Anthony can do some damage.
I don't know if I'll give him that out. Only because Carmelo Anthony got a motherfucking no trade clause. He can decide whether or not he goes to that team or not. I don't give him that out.
No. Well,
I don't give him that out. He could have vetoed that trade. If he didn't want to go to OKC, he could have vetoed that shit.
You're right. But what I think happened is he had talked so much shit about leaving New York after, and he waived his no trade clause, and that was the only team that he had to leave.
OKC. I agree.
I'm not
going
to waive my no trade clause and stay here. The situation was so bad. He had to leave no matter where he went. He just,
yeah.
I hear you. I just don't agree. So we're gonna do some picks now, right? Because we're down to the last 8 teams in the NBA. Some of these second round series are about to be motherfucking sweeps. The East has been like pretty, like after the first round, the excitement of the first round, like the second round has been kind of like, yo, two teams like pretty much dominating the team that they're going up against. So with the East, man, we got Toronto and Cleveland. How long do you think Toronto is going to hold this series out? Do you think they're going to push it to 6 games, 7 games? What you got on this one, Cliff?
They're done.
It's over. It's over.
No, I get that it's over. I'm saying how many games?
When's the next game?
Okay, so you got
it's
it.
Over.
You got it in sweep. That's you got it. Cleveland winning in sweep. What about you, Walt?
I got Cleveland taking them out of there.
In the sweep?
They in the sweep. Sweep.
Okay.
Sweep. Get the brooms out.
Okay. I got Cleveland winning it in 5. I think Toronto's going to win one. I think they'll win one.
I think they win one. Okay.
I think they'll win one.
That's fair. It's possible. It's entirely possible because Cleveland won a lot on some last.
Yeah, this last game they won on the last second shot. That score was 105 to 103. And the other two games, actually the first game, Cleveland won by 1 point. And then the first game, Cleveland won 113 to 112. The second game, Cleveland beat their ass by 18, 128 to 110. And then the third game, Cleveland won on that last second shot. I think Toronto may win one. They got to win this next game.
Intra mile. You win by 100, you win. So – the fact they won by one and last shot.
I get all that. I'm saying that because they've been playing, this has been like the games have been relatively close, that would give Cleveland, that would give Toronto a shot to win one game. I'm not saying Toronto's going to win the series. I'm saying they'll win one game and then that's it. And Cleveland will move on to the East, Eastern Conference Finals. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Boston and Philly. This series is at 3-0. What do you guys got with it? How many games you think is going to take before this series is over? How about you, Cliff?
I'm gonna give it 2 more games.
Are you giving it 2?
Give it 2 more games. 5 games and it's over.
Okay. How about you, Walt?
2 more games.
You say Boston got them 3-0 right now.
Boston
right?
got them 3-0 right now.
Is it 2 or 3?
It's 3-0
right now.
It's 3-0.
Okay. It's 3-0.
Yeah.
I got Philly winning 2. I got Boston taking it in game 6.
You got Boston in 6?
Boston in 6.
All right. I got Boston in a sweep. I think Boston and like broke their fucking soul. I really do. I think Boston has crushed their soul.
Pushing
like,
it.
Not only because, like, yo, Philly was at home? No, Philly wasn't at home. But Philly was
they
in
at home like yesterday. They was
no,
at home
no,
yesterday.
Let me get my point out. Philly was in Boston. They had Boston down by 20 motherfucking 2 points. They allowed Boston to come back from 22 points down and to win that game 108 to 103. They lost that game by 5 points. Ben Simmons didn't show up in that game, right? And then to come back and, like, they lose at home 101 to 98. I think because this is a young team and because they've never been in this particular playoff atmosphere before, I think this is a wrap for them. I think their spirit is crushed, and I think Boston is going to go ahead and finish him off and win this game and win this series in four. That's where I'm at with it.
I like the way you think, son. I like the way you think.
If they didn't have, I would agree with you if they didn't have Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid don't seem like the type to let his spirit get crushed like that. You understand what I'm saying? Like,
but he's only Joel Embiid like been balling, but at the end of the day, it's been resulting in three losses. And with the rest of that team being as young as they are, even with Embiid, the guys really don't have the experience to keep moving forward. Like, this is, again, we start talking about those steps. Like, I was surprised they even got to the second round. Like, I really was, because of how young that team was. And, you know, for Boston to kind of come out, and I remember you was talking earlier about, you know, whether or not Kyrie wouldn't be able to compete for a championship this year. We were talking about, you know, who would win Rookie of the Year and who should be eligible for it and everything else. But Boston still has a proven coach. They still got, like, you know, they got some guys who got some playoff experience about them, and they're playing.
I am amazed.
They're playing really fucking well right now, even though they don't have their two best players. They still don't have Gordon Hayward, and they still don't have Kyrie, and yet here they are, three games up on the Philadelphia 76ers in the second round of the Eastern Conference playoffs. So for me right now,
they didn't have four of their players.
Okay, I'm saying the two best players aren't there. The two best ones, which was Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving, and they're still up 3-0. So that's why I think Boston has kind of crushed it for Philly. I think this series is over in the next game. I think Boston is going to win this in four. We're going to move on to the Western Conference, man. We got the Houston Rockets and the Utah Jazz. Right now, Houston is currently up in this series 2-1. Walt, what do you think is going to happen in this series? Who's going to win it and how many games?
Well, I'm watching the game right now, and Houston is beating the brakes off of Utah. So I think the one game that Utah was going to win, I think they won it. I think this is over in five.
Mm. How about you, Cliff?
I really don't know who's going to win. I say that because Houston has a really good team, and even though James Harden travels all the time, they play well together. Utah is younger, they have a solid core, and their bench plays well. If you guys look at the numbers for their bench, and another reason why I'm saying Utah might win and might lose, yo, they might win because they don't have a lot of turnovers. They control the ball really, really well. So I don't know. I honestly don't know. I think it could go seven games. I think this is probably the only series that can go seven games, if you ask me.
Mm. Okay. Okay, so in this series, because I'm looking at the score now, the Rockets are up 83-74. And what's this? This is the fourth quarter, pretty much the beginning of the fourth quarter. They got time to come back. The Jazz have time to come back right now. I think the Houston Rockets are going to win this series in maybe six. I think they're going to win this series in six games, only because like Donovan Mitchell is playing out of his fucking mind right now. Like that kid he's playing out of his fucking mind. Like, I know we were having the debate as to whether or not what's my man name, Ben Simmons, you know, should be eligible for Rookie of the Year. I know, like, the Rookie of the Year award isn't a playoff award, but in these playoffs, Donovan Mitchell has been just out motherfucking performing Ben Simmons. And Donovan Mitchell has his team on his back right now. I think that he and Gobert could will them to another win. I think the Utah Jazz could win another game. That would give them two for the series. But ultimately, I think the team that is the Houston Rockets with traveling as James Harden and with Chris Paul, man, and with Mike D'Antoni, I think they're going to go ahead to the Western Conference Finals, man. I think Houston will take care of business, but it's going to go six. I don't see them going seven, but I could definitely see them going six. So we got that. Golden State.
I thought if Utah was going to win another game, it would be this one. It would be the one.
Well, they got an opportunity to, because like
they
I said,
they still got time.
They still have time to win. They still have time. It's still the fourth quarter. It's early in the fourth quarter. It's down nine. The game in the NBA is a game of runs, man. So they could definitely get hot. We got the Golden State Warriors and the New Orleans Pelicans. Golden State won today. They're up 3-1. How far y'all think the series is going?
How far does James Harden walk? That's how far it's going. Personally, Golden State is just too much for the Pelicans. The Pelicans did an awesome job regular season and postseason, but we're talking about out of all the teams in the entire NBA, we're talking about the best team in the league, hands down. They've been to the show and won multiple times. So that's a lot to chew. And for them to, first of all, to come back, let's just call it for what it is, to come back, man, it's just not happening. So, AD, you my man's hometown, but it's over.
So how many games? How many games you got this year, Cliff?
No. Next game is done data.
So you got it in five.
Done data.
Okay. What about you, Walt?
I got the Golden State Warriors winning this series. I think that the one game that the New Orleans Pelicans won against them, they blew them out, granted. But I think Golden State learned from their mistakes when they lost that championship to Cleveland a couple years back. I think they learned how to pace themselves. I think they learned that it's okay to lose a game. You ain't got to sweep everybody. You ain't got to run the table in the playoffs. You ain't got to win 70-something games to get a chip. And I think that's basically – same thing with what they did with San Antonio won a game against them. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just – I think they take nights off. And New Orleans beat them at their own game the other day. They was running them off ball screens. They looked like the New Orleans Pelicans looked like the Golden State Warriors in their last game. But then you watch today and you realize that New Orleans is just a superior team. Now, if they would have had Boogie Cousins, the series would have been a lot more interesting. But I just think they got Curry back. I just think Golden State is going back to the finals. And that's just what it is. I don't think their run is up. So
you got how many games? Five, six, seven?
I got them winning in five.
Okay. It's going to be a trifecta here because I got them winning in five, too. I think at this particular point in time, Golden State is interesting because they're getting healthier in these playoffs. With Steph Curry coming back, Steph Curry's a two-time motherfucking MVP. Steph Curry came in, and it was almost as if he never really fucking left. You know what I mean? Like
lit their ass up.
It was almost as if he never left. And to have that caliber of a player come in off injury and to produce right off the rip the way that Steph Curry has been able to produce, I think is scary. It's scary prospects for the rest of the NBA to have to deal with the Golden State Warriors again, because you look at that lineup, like that was the first time like that game against New Orleans this afternoon, like that was the first time that those guys had started together ever, and they came out running against the motherfucking New Orleans Pelicans. They had them down 12 within the first 3 minutes of the game. So I think the championship pedigree of that team, man, like those guys know how to do it. They've been through it. They've done it before. Yeah, in New Orleans, this is pretty much a new experience for them. It's a wrap, man. I think Golden State is going to win this in five, man. This next game is, I think it's back in Golden State. Yep, is because that's a 10:30 p.m. start on that game. So, yeah, that game is back in Oakland. Yeah, Golden State's going to win that one in five, man. So, we got Golden State and Houston in the Western Conference Finals. And we got Cleveland and Boston in the Eastern Conference Finals. So, that's pretty much what it is. You guys want to, like, y'all want to do y'all picks all the way up to the finals? Or y'all want to save those until next week?
Shit, why save them? Let's do it.
Okay. So, with Boston and Cleveland in the Eastern Conference Finals, who y'all got? Start with you, Walt.
Cleveland.
You got Cleveland? How many games?
I got Cleveland. I got Cleveland beating Boston in six games. I got Boston fighting for two just because Brad Stevens is a hell of a coach.
Mm.
But I got Cleveland winning in six games just because, I mean, LeBron is LeBron. If they would have had Kyrie and Hayward, we might be having a different discussion. Them young guys, they're going to turn into – when they go up against LeBron, they're going to turn into Toronto psychologically. You understand mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Like, I think LeBron just got something over guys in the East, man, that they just can't get over it. And then on top of it, I mean, it seems like Cleveland is hitting their stride right now with the role. I mean, Kyle Korver lighting their ass up. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? J.R. Smith knocking over. Tristan Thompson has showed up in the goddamn playoffs.
Try messing Tristan.
You know what I mean? It's just – I think they – I think they're just showing up at the right time, man. I think they're just hitting their stride at the right time. Boston, you got to take your hat off to them because nobody's seen them even get into the conference finals without Kyrie and Hayward. And then on top of that, Marcus Smart was out for a game. Then Jaylen Brown got pulled a hamstring. They was down, and they pulled, I think, Cleveland too much for them.
Oh, man. It seemed like you got a little delay on Walt's, what is that, the video. But who you got, Cliff, in between Cleveland and Boston?
I'm going with Walt. I'm definitely going the same route. I'll take that in the sixth piece. I definitely think that Boston is a good team. I hate the woulda, coulda, shoulda shit with, you know, Kyrie and all that. I don't think that, and then this is just me, I don't think the outcome would be any different if they were playing. What it shows to me is that they have an awesome team that, you know, they have a guy or a group of guys who play just as well with or without their superstar. You know, you never know if Kyrie was still playing. He might not have made it to the playoffs. Who knows? But right now, they are where they're at. And when it comes down to it, everything that Walt said, I agree with. So,
okay. I'm going to go with Cleveland in five. And the reason that I say in five is part of the reason for that is because there is no Gordon Hayward and there is no Kyrie Irving, and there's a lot of new faces on that Boston roster. There's a lot of guys on that team who, in similar fashion to New Orleans, haven't been this far in the playoffs, and haven't had these battles. And with LeBron and with Kevin Love and the team that they got over there with, you know, Ty Lue and everything, like, they've been through these battles before. Like, I think sometimes, like, I think the fans to a certain degree can kind of like overreact when it comes to, you know, when they lose and stuff like that and what these losses mean. I think LeBron has shown himself to be this generation's greatest player, like, bar none. And because of LeBron and because of the way that the Cleveland Cavaliers are rolling right now, and because the Boston Celtics are coming into the Western Conference Finals without their two best players, and because the Boston Celtics are also playing a team who is also very inexperienced in these playoffs, you know, with Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, like, those guys are, this is their first run through this too. They're going to run up against this Cleveland team who is been tested, who's been through this before, who's had these long, deep playoff runs. Like, I think it's going to be a wrap on Boston. I think it's going to be over quick. I don't think that Cleveland's going to sweep them, but I definitely think Cleveland's going to win that series in five, and they're going to be in the Eastern Conference representative in the NBA Finals. So we're going to go to the Western Conference Finals, and I think we all kind of picked Houston and Golden State in the Western Conference Finals. So between Houston and Golden State, who do you guys think are going to win, and in how many games? Cliff, we'll start with you.
I think it's going to be probably that the Western Conference Finals is going to be better than the championship. Houston is going to give Golden State a run for they money. And I think I say that because I think Chris Paul, he's at his peak. He's going to be on the downfall, kind of like Melo, but not as bad. But this is his only opportunity, if you ask me, to be that leader that he is, to be that point guard that he is, and to maximize an opportunity right now. I think they would go at least six games. Mm. At least six games. Given the fact that Golden State, quote unquote, is healthy, which is some bullshit to me, they was healthy from the get-go. They were just sandbagging. But no, I really think that it's going to be an excellent series, man. I really do. And honestly, depending on how bad they beat each other up, them going into the championship game, either team, yo, the East might have a little bit of advantage. But I'm going to take Golden State and at least six. At least six.
Okay, what about you, Walt? The niggas there sandbag.
I agree with
y'all. Know what it
series
is
probably. I agree because this series is probably going to be better than the finals. I got Golden State winning in seven games. I got Houston fighting because they're good, but at the end of the day, they have no answer for Kevin Durant. You can match up Chris Paul and Curry. You can match up Klay Thompson and Harden, and Klay Thompson is one of the best on-ball defenders in this league. So if anybody can guard James Harden, it's Klay Thompson. I just think nobody can guard Durant on that team. I watched the New Orleans Pelicans play the Golden State Warriors today, and everybody that defended Durant put hands in his face and got all up in this boy, and there was nothing they can do to stop him from shooting over them. Like, even Anthony Davis. I mean, hands all in his face, all his eye. He's a natural scorer. I just don't see Houston having an answer for it. And I also believe that James Harden will shrink a little bit in the finals. That's just my opinion. I don't think James Harden is ready for that stage by himself. You know, I mean, they got Chris Paul. Don't get me wrong, but Chris Paul, I don't look at Chris Paul the same way everybody look at Chris Paul. Chris Paul's a beast, but he ain't that. He's not a difference maker to me. He's not a difference maker. I think they were an excellent regular season team. Chris Paul is well deserving of the MVP, but I think in the conference finals,
Chris Paul.
I mean, not Chris Paul. I'm sorry. James Harden. I'm sorry. Thank you for catching that. James Harden.
Nigga, you turned me into a million. I'm like, what?
James Harden is definitely worthy of the MVP for the year. You know, great season. Take my hat off to him, but I just think Golden State got too much firepower. I really do.
All right. Yeah, man, I got Golden State in six. I think Houston is a damn good team, man. James Harden will probably be the NBA's MVP this year.
Bullshit.
Mike D'Antoni, a hell of a coach. Sorry. Right? Hell of a coach. But I think with Golden State coming on in the way that they're coming on right now, like I said, I think the only reason that New Orleans won one game, they're not as experienced as, you know, the guys over in Houston. There's guys on that Houston roster who have been on long, deep playoff runs who know at this particular point what you need to do to win. But ultimately, I think Golden State is going to overwhelm Houston. Like, I just do. Like, there's way too much offense on that Golden State team for Houston to keep up. I think it's going to be a running gun series. I think we're going to see a lot of high. I think we're going to see scores in like 120 to like 117 sort of shit pretty regularly. Like, real talk. But ultimately, man, yeah, Golden State's going to win that. They're going to win it in six, and they're going to be on to the NBA Finals to face off against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Now, in these finals, because it seems like we all on the Cleveland and Golden State thing. Who y'all got? Does LeBron win his, what, fifth ring?
Fourth.
Is it fourth?
Fourth, yeah.
He only got three right now.
You're right. You're right. He won two in Miami and one in Cleveland. Does he win his fourth ring, or does the Golden State Warriors come away with their third. So who do you got, Walt?
I got Golden State. This is their last championship before their run is over. I think they take this last championship before they start to the rest of the teams in the season in the NBA start. You got Houston on the ass. You got a whole bunch of teams that's just they on the come up. I mean, we can't count Boston out next year. New Orleans get Boogie Cousins back. You know, it's a lot of things that's going to take place. I think right now, this is their last. What it's been 4 years now. They've been on this run. I think this is their fourth season. Cleveland won their last little hurrah together as a team, and they're going to pull it out and win the championship. I just LeBron got enough help. I don't think LeBron got enough help.
All right, how about you, Cliff?
I agree. I mean, LeBron does not have enough firepower. I mean, you know what? When it comes down to these games, it's about matchups. And I think, you know, like you just said, Walt, KD, you know, it's a few guys in the NBA that nobody can guard. Nobody can guard KD. Nobody can guard LeBron. So we can eliminate those two. But then when you start to go deep on Golden State's bench, it just gets unfair because Cleveland is not that deep. So that's where the edge is going to come for Golden State as far as, you know, when they play certain people and, you know, it's over. You know, I'm going to say I'd give Cleveland – I'd give them two games, but Golden State in six.
All right. Me and Cliff are in unison on that one. Golden State in six. I give Cleveland two just off of the strength of LeBron. Just off of strength of LeBron, they getting at least two. Like, that just is what it is. I think, ultimately, as much as Boston is going to miss Kyrie, Cleveland missing Kyrie, too. real talk. Kyrie was able to, like, kind of offset a lot of the shit that Steph Curry was able to do. And nobody, like, we talk about guys who are unguardable in this league, LeBron being one, KD being another one. Nobody can keep fucking Kyrie Irving in front of them. Nobody can do it. The guy can get his own shot from anywhere on the floor. And so with that, I think the Golden State Warriors are going to win this in six. I give Cleveland two. Like I said, just off of the strength of LeBron James. I think LeBron James is the greatest player of this generation. That guy is going to go down as one of the greatest to ever do it. But he ain't going to win it this season. I think the Golden State Warriors are going to win their third championship in 4 years. And that's going to be what it is, man. That's going to be what it is. I think the Golden State Warriors are going to be the 2018 NBA champions this year. And I said that when we were talking this a couple weeks ago. I thought Golden State was going to win it. But like as these playoffs are really start like breaking down, is becoming more and more apparent. Like, you know, the pretenders are out of the way. And now you're down to the contenders. And really, the contenders are the Cleveland Cavaliers. As much as folks were talking about them not playing well, you know, going into these playoffs, they found their stride. I think Cleveland's going to these finals. I think Golden State's going to these finals. Golden State's going to win it in six. So
that's And you know what? They're going to win it without traveling.
All right.
Hey, y'all don't understand, man. That shit pisses me off. Man.
Oh, I think everybody at this point knows how bad traveling irks the fuck out of the homeboy Cliff, man. Real talk. But it's time for us to wing it, y'all.
We'll do it live. Okay. We'll do it live. Fuck it.
All right. So, Cliff, man, what you winging it on tonight, brother?
Okay, so everybody saw the LeBron shot. And first of all, amazing shot. Amazing shot. I mean, to be, you know, to understand how the hell he got that shot off on the left side of the basket with his right hand and he banked it in, amazing shot. With pressure, amazing shot. But don't fucking step to me talking about it's better than Mike shit when he shot it over Craig Elo on the Cleveland Cavaliers. That is a what did Dave Chappelle say? I wish I had more hands, because I'd smack the shit out of somebody if they tell me that LeBron got better game winners than Michael Jordan. That is absolutely bananas. Bananas. Come on, man. Come on, man. Who's the dude on ESPN? Come on, man. Come on, man.
God. Chris Carter.
And you know what? And once again, this conversation when I was at my cigar lounge, this dude said, oh, man, that shot was better than, you know, LeBron got better game winners than Michael Jordan. Man, I was like, this is not about, is LeBron better than Mike? It was just about the game winner. And once again, not taking anything away from LeBron, it was an amazing shot. You know, but I'm just like, yo, it's not better than Mike's. It's not better than Mike's, you know. And LeBron is, you know, I always ask this question. If there was 2 seconds left, 3 seconds left to go in the game, who are you going to get a ball to, Michael Jordan, LeBron, or Kobe, right? You know, honestly, you know, I'm not giving it to LeBron. He's not known for always coming through in the clutch, you know. But that's my wing. And my wing is get your ass out of here. It's not better than Mike's. Thank you.
No. Get your ass off my lawn, boy. Oh, Walt, what you winking it on tonight, bro?
Y'all stupid, man.
I'm watching the game earlier today, and I hear one of the commentators mention that Dwayne Casey, the coach of the Toronto Raptors, is on the hot seat if they lose this series, because I don't know if it's because of the psychological advantage that they feel that Cleveland, that LeBron got over the Raptors, and they feel like the Raptors have squandered their talent over the last couple of years. But I'm a little annoyed by the situation, because why is it that these black coaches, and I hate to make it racial, I really do, I ain't that guy, but it just seemed too funny, man. They can't do it. Because it seemed too funny for them to just get rid of Dwayne Casey. Because you losing to LeBron. You didn't lose to Indiana. You didn't lose to Boston. You didn't lose. You losing to LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers. Everybody in the Eastern Conference lose to LeBron James Cavaliers. So I'm going to say, if Dwayne Casey is fired because the Toronto Raptors lose to the Cleveland Cavaliers, man, I might have to be out on the NBA. I mean, I'm not going to stop watching it. Obviously, I'm a basketball fan, man, but I can't as much. I'm like, Cliff, it's a turnoff. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how many black coaches we done seen get canned over some bullshit. You know what I'm saying? Like, Mark Jackson, Jason Kidd. Mm. You know, it's like the list keep going on and on and on and on, and it's like, okay, again, they didn't lose to no bum-ass team. They lost to LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers, man. You got the best record in the Eastern Conference this season, and you fire your coach. Dwayne Casey better have his job next year. That's all I'm saying, bro. And I'm going to leave it at that.
I want to say something so bad, but this is hot wings.
I know, right?
Let him speak on it, Cliff. Go ahead. 30 seconds. Go ahead.
No, I agree. And it's fucked up, because that idea with how they approach the black coaches has applied to all sports. Lovey with the Bears. It's a whole big shenanigans about that. He took the Bears to the playoffs 6 years in a row, and they fired him. So, and then what's my man down in Tampa Bay? Mark Jackson, when he had Golden State Warriors, it's so many situations like that. No, I agree. I'm done. Go ahead, Stan.
All right. Well, we're talking about racial shit, right? And we're talking about racial shit, and we're talking about sports. I'm gonna take it out of the playing arena, and I'm gonna take it to the broadcasting booth. Britt McHenry, who used to be a sideline reporter for ESPN, She took her ass on, what is this? Was it Fox News or some shit? Let me read this story. This actually comes out of Complex.com. It says, sports reporter turned right-wing pundit Britt McHenry offered up a hot take on her tenure with ESPN in a series of since-deleted tweets Friday, claiming that the sports network demoted her due to her race. She said that, no, I wasn't demoted. She said, no, I was demoted because I was white and I made too much. First to go, actually, McHenry tweeted during a back and forth with several other Twitter users. McHenry was laid off in April 2017 amid a round of cuts that saw several prominent contributors get axed. Since being shown the door, McHenry, who has also claimed her conservative views, caused her to fall out of favor with ESPN higher ups. McHenry also deleted her tweets about her conservatism shortly after writing them. The former sideline reporter made headlines in 2015 after a video of her berating a tow company employee went viral. McHenry openly criticized the employee's appearance, earning herself a one-week suspension from ESPN. During the round of the 2017 layoffs, which roughly 100 other employees and unnamed forces told Fox News that the viral video of McHenry did not factor into her being laid off. Now, let me say this, man. You had a whole lot of motherfuckers get booted off ESPN. Some of them turned back up at Fox Sports 1. You got Chris Broussard over at Fox Sports 1. You got Skip Bayless over at Fox Sports 1. You got, what's my man's name? Oh, shit. I hate to be like, Parker. You got Rob Parker's over there. Jason Whitlock's ass is over there. Colin Cowherd's ass is over there. You got guys of different, you know, races and different political, most, you know, some of those really do have conservative views, but you got a lot of guys over there who used to be on ESPN who find themselves jobs over at Fox Sports 1, right? Then you also juxtapose that with all the shit that Jemele Hill and Michael Smith got for being on SportsCenter at 6 p.m. All of the shit. People were actually asking for them to be fired. People still think Jemele Hill and Michael Smith were fired. They still work for ESPN. They're just not doing the SportsCenter anymore. But you had a whole bunch of motherfuckers coming at their necks because they had the audacity to speak out or just to speak to, you know, their experience with sports and, like, the shit that's going on with sports. Like, in much the same way that we kind of talk about some of these things now, we don't talk always about what's going on. You know, we don't give, you know, the X's and O's and all the sports, you know, like the scores and shit like that. Sometimes we get into some of the other topics that are happening around the game. And they talked about that on SportsCenter at 6 o'clock. And a lot of those white conservative viewers were racist as shit, talking about, we don't want to hear this, we just want the highlights. Although you can get the highlights on your phone, you can get the highlights on your computer. Half the time, folks ain't even watching SportsCenter no more anyway. So for Britt McHenry to get her ass on Twitter.
No, say what you was going to say.
Nah, man. For her to get her ass on Twitter and say that dumb shit it pisses me off, man. And, like, a lot of shit done pissed me off over the course of this week. I've been, like, hot all week about dumb motherfuckers and saying dumb shit all week. But this is the epitome of, like, white people feigning victimhood when, damn it, you done had every goddamn advantage known to man. How many times have we watched an attractive white blonde claim that she didn't get a job because she was attractive, white, and blonde? Get the fuck out my face, man. Just stop it. Just stop it. And that's what I'm winging it on tonight. That's how we gonna end it. But
hey, we gotta end it there for Spanny to go in.
Oh, man. That shit pissed me off, man. But we get ready to get up out of here. But before we go, man, yo, shit. I done forgot what I was getting ready to say.
Go by the store. And pick
Okay, yeah. Yeah, we get ready to get out of here. But before we do, we gotta remind y'all, how to get in touch with us. Yeah, that's it. That's it. Thank you, Walt. Thank you. Get in touch with us here at the Beer and Chicken Podcast. Let your voice be heard. Go ahead and hit us up at the hotline, area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemails, man. We'll play them on the show, respond to you right here on the show. You can also email us at feedback@beerandchickenpod.com. That's feedback@beerandchickenpod.com. That's the letter N, not the name N or the word N. It's beerandchickenpod.com. Leave those emails. We'll read them right here on the show and respond to you right here on the show. You can also hit us all up on Twitter. My name is Mr. Spann. The show's got a Twitter. It's Beer and Chicken Pod. Walt's got a Twitter. It's Walt Lockdown. Cliff's got a Twitter. It's DJ Neff 2. Hit us all up on the Twitter streets, man. We'll react. You know, we'll chop it up with you throughout the week. Also, go to the store. Cop you some gear. Them shirts are still available. Don't be a hater all your life, bro. They out there, man. You can go get you one. You know what I'm saying? You can go get this fly-ass Beer and Chicken Podcast logo, man. Like, go ahead and cop that. We like when y'all do that. It's like, amazing when y'all do that. It's, like, really cool if we see y'all with those shirts, though. Like, you can post them on social media, nigga. That shit be all. That shit be the bomb, nigga. I'm just saying. You know what I'm saying? But go ahead and do that. And for all of your beer and chicken needs, man, go to beerandchickenpod.com. Go to the website, man. You can leave comments there. You can watch replays of the show. You can vote in the polls. Everything's available at Beer and Chicken Pod, man. And we appreciate everybody who goes about the business of doing that. But for the homeboy Walt Lockdown, and for the homeboy Walt DJ, Cliff, DJ Neff 2, we out of here. So until next time, fam. Peace.
Peace out.
Peace.